Well, good evening. I've turned 63 since my last sermon that I had here. That's getting up there, you know. When you're 40, we had one of our teachers turn 40 this week and told her, you know, 40's kind of iffy. You're really not old, you know, but you start feeling it. When you hit 60, you know, it's like, you're getting old. You're getting up there, you know. And unfortunately, you know, I've been alive for 63 years, and I've eaten whenever I've wanted to, whatever I've wanted to, and as much as I've wanted to, and I got type 2 diabetes, I learned. You know, it was like, oh, diabetes. Everybody in my family lives to like 120, you know, and nobody said, that can't be true. I have so punished the genetics of, you know, that I was handed me. And so it's a new life, you know. We've got all these terms and things you got to do. But, you know, you got to eat right or else I'm going to die. Or, you know, I'm not going to die immediately, but, you know, start dropping toes and, you know, and going blind, and it's, you start reading about it, it's like, boy, this is serious stuff, you know. But it's a motivation for eating right, I'll tell you that. And I've lost 23 pounds this month, you know. Whoa. It's amazing if you don't go to the refrigerator at night and consume, you know, 8,000 calories at 10 p.m., what'll happen to you if you eat right? So I know what Ezekiel bread is now, and, you know, and all that. I go to that Whole Paycheck store, you know, and Whole Foods, you know, I call it Whole Paycheck, because it's not. I was there looking at some stuff. I get on my phone. I'm going down Walmart aisle, and I'm going, what kind of cereal can I eat for type 2 diabetes or something like that, you know, and it'll pop it up, and I'll look for it. But one of our members was telling me about the bread to eat. And she was saying, oh, you can also get it in English muffins. And I looked, and it was 8 English muffins for $9. And some I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm not doing that, okay? I do like English muffins, but not that much. But, you know, how we treat our bodies is important. You know, I know that when I was at school for the first 3 weeks of school, my blood sugar got to 460, which I guess is pretty high. And my, what's the other, A1C1, you know, was 10.8. Oh, I don't know what those mean, but everybody I showed them to, their eyebrows went up. So I figured it was not good. But I was lethargic, you know, and I'm no good for the ministry if you feel like that. You know, you need energy. You need to try to be as healthy as you can be. That's one of the things I realized. It was kind of something that, oh, it's not sin to eat bad, but, you know, it probably is, you know. I don't know if I ate a Twinkie in the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to get in trouble for that, you know, but I think I will now, that's for sure. But yes, you reap what you sow in life is so true. So the other day I went to exercise and I came home, and you know what my wife told me? I stink. She said, you stink. I mean, very emphatically. You know, she said this several times to me after I've exercised, and I've blown it off because when I smell what? I don't stink. I do not smell my stink. And I thought, you know, if I was just, no, I don't. She's lying. And she was like, no, you stink. And not to the point. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a sermon there somewhere, and here it comes, all right? But it was like, boy, we can't even smell our own stink. Because, I do stink. When that, you know, if you work out sweating, you know, you ride your bike in the summer out here, you're going to sweat. And you're going to probably come home and stink. But we're unaware of it. There's a phenomenon, you know, about that. I want to talk about that. But, you know, stink is like sin, you know? And Psalms chapter 19, verses 12 and 13. I thought about this when I thought about stink and sin. It says, who can understand his errors? You know? And he's not asking a question. It's a rhetorical question. You know, he already knows the answer to that. Cleanse thou me from secret, what? Faults. Verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And I was thinking about that. You know, Sometimes people think that sin's a sin. They don't matter if they're big or small. You know, some denominations, there's cardinal sins, and then there's, you know, not so bad sins. In a sense, that's right. You know, there are some sins that are much more significant than others, but also in a sense of trying to present our righteousness to God, a sin is a sin. In James chapter 2 and verse 10, it states that what? We're familiar with this. If you offend what? Whosoever shall keep the whole law. If you can be good your whole life and offend at one point, he's guilty of all. You know, I've heard people saying, it makes me, have you ever stolen? Well, you're a thief. You know? And, well, I just did it once. You're a thief. God, you're a thief. If, you know, when you do a sin, that is you. You know, in God's eyes, you've done that. So in the sense of, does it have to be a big sin? Or does it have to be a little sin to violate God's will? It can be anything. As a matter of fact, Jesus talked about it in the book of John, or excuse me, John 19:11. Well, excuse me, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, okay? I got my glasses on, so I should be able to do this pretty good. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 28. All right, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And then verse 28 talks about basically the same thing. It says, but I say unto you, that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Whoa, all right? I used to believe and was taught that I could lose my salvation. And when you combine these verses, you know, it's if I offend the law at one point, I'm guilty of it all. And if I just get angry with somebody, it's like murdering them. Lust after them is like adultery. Boy, that's rough. You know, you put those two together. And I tried my best to try to figure out, you know, those systems that say you can lose your salvation. One thing you should ask them is, how do I lose it? Give me specifics. What? Well, and you get all sorts. Because if they just say sin, throw them this stuff, you know. How long have you kept your salvation, you know? If that's the standard sin, then I won't be able to keep my salvation at all. I'll go back from being lost and saved 400 times during the day, if not more, wouldn't you? But men come up with these systems. No, it's got to be this kind of sin, or you got to deny God, or, you know, when we sin, we deny God, don't we? I mean, sin is sin. And we've got to watch out for it in every form and shape and everything. But, you know, there are, as a Christian, there are sins, you know, and then there is a lost person, there are sins. When I was thinking about losing my salvation and struggling with that, I couldn't make sense of things until I got in a concept study. And the concept stuff helped me to see, oh, I have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And when I was born again, my body wasn't born again at all. My soul, my spirit was born again. God made me spiritually alive. And he imputed righteousness. It talks about, Brother Bryant talked about that this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, we have the heart and the mind of God in us. I can't feel it much because the cord that puts the spirit and the flesh together is pretty, mutes a lot of things. You know, we're so overwhelmed by this world. But I began to realize, oh, this makes sense. When I sin, it's a sin of the body. The flesh is sinning. But I also know I'm going to give an account for that too. There's an accountability that when we're saved, we have a foundation, and that's Christ. And that can't be removed. That's there, but we can build upon it. And when we build upon it in a bad way, you know, a Twinkies and ding-dong kind of way, it's not good. You need to have good stuff like gold, silver, and precious stones in our lives. Those are the things that are going to endure. So as a saved person, when I sin now, I don't worry about losing my salvation. That's not what comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is guilt and shame, you know, that, oh, I am, you know, he is the vine, I am the branch, and I have broken that branch, you know. I've got to make sure I'm getting back with the Lord because I can't bear fruit without him, you know. So our reaction to sin is very, very different, you know. People do it all sorts of different ways. But when I was thinking about these things, you know, I realized I'd never become a Christian because I'd never trusted him. That's the other thing about thinking about you can lose your salvation is when you go to receive Christ, what are you saying to him? Thank you, Jesus, for the loan. I'm going to try to do my best. So the repo man, you know, the big repo man's guy, you're not going to come and take it from me. You know, I never trusted Christ until I realized it was a free gift and I could do nothing, nothing at all. You know, that is the key to it. You know, however, though, the scripture does say that there are greater sins. In John 19, 11, when talking about sin and, you know, stink in general in our lives, and Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. You know, I mean, even our system of law knows that there are greater violations. They're all violations of the law, just like James said. But there are greater. There's first-degree murder. There's second-degree murder. There's third-degree murder. You know, Jesus said that when he comes and judges, that there are going to be some people that are going to have the greater judgment because he came and ministered to people visibly, and those towns, and they didn't repent, but the towns like Tyre and Sidon, those towns never saw him, and that yet they repented, all right? And you shall have the greater condemnation, he said to those people, the audience that he had when he was here on planet Earth, right, talking to them. So there are degrees of sin and judgment that we're going to go through. But, you know, when I getting back to the inspiration for my message, I began to think, in these two verses that we read, there were two types of sins mentioned. You remember that? Let's go back to Psalms for just a little bit. Chapter 19, verses 12 and 13. And first one is what? What kind of sin is there? Secret. Oh, things we do in secret. Is that what he's talking about, you think? Because we are going to give an account for things we do in secret, right? Every idle word that we speak. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Just without thinking, you know. Oh, you know, yesterday at that football game, I said some idle words, all right? Actually, they had a little revolutions to them, but they weren't idling too much. But, you know, the things that we say, we're going to give an account to those. The idle words, all right? But Ecclesiastes tells us about that, right? That everything that we do, whether it's good or bad, we're going to give an account for it, all right? So a secret sin, I don't think that's what he's talking about here, but we'll get to that. What's the next verse say? Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, all right? Let them not have dominion over me. These are kind of like chocolate and vanilla sins here we're talking about, all right? A presumptuous sin is what? What does it mean to be presumptuous? I mean, you're just boom, all right? I don't care, I'm going to do it. I remember living in the session house years ago, and there was a young man upstairs, and he was talking about establishing a relationship with this girl and marrying her, and he said, I know the Lord doesn't want me to do it, but I'm going to do it. I thought, whoa, that's crazy. You're talking about marriage. You're not talking about chocolate or vanilla, you know. You're talking about something that has profound significance in your life, and you're just going to tell God you're going to do it. So there are sins in our lives where we just are presumptuous. That's most of the sins in our lives. We do them. We're consciously aware that what we're doing is wrong, and yet what? We do that. All right? And then there's the other sins that I kind of want to focus on a little bit here, the secret sins. And these aren't sins that are we do in secret. But what's the verse? What's it say right before this verse? What's it say? Let's flip back there. All right. Who can understand his errors? What's that mean? You know, we're blind to our own faults. Just like our, you know, our nose is oblivious to our own stink. You know, the nose is, I started studying smells and everything. It's a pretty interesting little study there, you know. Brother Brown was talking about the eye this morning. It has its own, like, brain. Your nose is not so smart, all right? Your nose can get, it can fool you, and I guess it's smart in the sense to do that. But your nose, it acts a lot different. Your hearing and your eyes respond to change. You know, you've seen that. You've been out in the sunlight, and you go inside, and you can't, you know, it's dark because your eyes have kind of put, like, sunglasses on, right? They've adjusted the pupils, you know, get smaller and letting in less light if you're out in the bright. Come inside, you need more. It takes a little time, but how much time does it take? Not too long, all right? Your ears are the same way. You know, I could walk into a room. My wife sometimes has the TV up loud, you know, because I said, how come it's so loud? Are you deaf? And she said, well, the kids were in here for a while, and I couldn't hear it, so I turned it up. And then she just left it up, you know. But our ears adjust, too. They adjust rather quickly. Our nose is a different story. You know that? Our nose is completely different. You ever gone into a house that they got dogs in it? You walk in and you go, how can they live here? This smell, all right? Or around somebody like myself who's got body odor, and it's like, you know, we have to tell these junior high kids all the time, you know, because they start getting old enough where they start smelling. You know, little kids, they sweat, they're fine. You know, when they get older, they don't know. You guys smell. I teach in the sub-assembly, right? And often I'll be teaching. You got a bunch of kids in the room, and the next period teacher will come in, and what will they say? Oh, smells in this room, all right? And I look at them and say, what? That smell in this room, all right? That smells not quite normal. Because our nose, I don't know the science behind it, some of you might, but our nose has receptors. You know, when we're smelling something, it's molecules from that thing going inside our nose. You know, I don't need to get any details, but when you smell some bad stuff, it's inside you, all right? And our nose, basically, it knows, excuse the pun, to tone things down. It automatically does it. It does it pretty quick. It tells you, shut out that smell. You've got enough of it. I'm just shutting it out. It's not going to tell your brain anymore, because that's where you go up to somebody with some nice cologne on. Then you don't smell it on them all day long, you know, because your nose gets overwhelmed. If it were to do that for every smell, I guess we'd get overwhelmed. But it turns itself off. And sometimes, you know, if you go away, I was told reading, if I go away from my house for about 3 weeks, and then I come back to my house, I'll smell the dog if I have a dog in my house. But if I leave my house for a day and my nose is accustomed to dog and I come back, it's still, I won't smell dog. You know, my nose is like that. There's a sermon there, isn't there? Like I was saying, that's the way it is with sin in our lives, isn't it? Sometimes the receptors, our conscience, you know, can just, you know, the first time we do something, second time, you know, and then pretty soon it's not even a hurdle anymore. You know, it's just, you just do it. You don't even feel guilty hardly about it, you know? And so God has to use something besides our nose. You know, he's got to slap us around with a significant emotional event to get our attention. You know, hey, you got diabetes. You might have to start eating better, things like that, because I knew better. You read about it, goes in, you know, people tell you about it. Oh, you better watch out. But when it slaps you in the face, it's like that. And sin's like that too. It is, I used to think it would be a blessed thing not to have any nerves. I think I've said that before in the pulpit. Wouldn't that be great not to have any nerves? You wouldn't feel any pain, all right? Yeah, and, you know, that's what lepers apparently, you know, they lose their sense of pain and they smack their, you know, their hands, arm, and it just wounds them to the point where they lose digits, fingers, and things like that. Pain is a good thing. No pain, no gain. All right? Now, you can have pain and no gain. We know that. But pain should bring about gain. It is the goodness of God that leads us towards what? Repentance, you know. To feel pain, to smell your stink is a good thing. Because if you don't smell your stink, you go around, what? Everywhere, what? Stinking. People don't want to be around. Have you ever smelled, you know, bad breath the same way? Now, sometimes you can tell if you got bad breath, right? But often I've been around people and they might say, they're familiar with me. Hey, you got bad breath. It's like, I didn't know I had bad breath. Okay? It's the same thing in our lives with some of the secret what? We're unaware of some of the sins in our lives, our habits and peculiar ways in which we might speak or our mannerisms that are very offensive to people. You know? Young men, you know, when you get newly married, I've found that I offended my wife sometimes and I had no clue. Hey, honey, I just mowed the yard. Isn't that great? You know, and, well, you didn't notice what I was wearing. All right, or something like that. And I'm thinking, hey, you should be happy. I mowed the lawn. Look how good it looks. And, well, you didn't say how good I looked. All right. But we could go around and do things, you know, our manners, the way in which we don't. It's obvious to others, you know. Why doesn't so-and-so straighten up? They talk too much. Don't they know that or something? Or they're just any manners they might have. There are secret faults and sins in our lives, and we have no clue because our receptors, it's not so much we have presumptuously sinned so many times, or maybe it is. We've just talked so much all of our life that we don't even think it's a sin anymore to talk. You know, the Bible says to what? About talking. Let your words be what? Few. You know? Few. I know a person who's a terrible listener. If you go up to this person and begin to talk to them about their story in life, you know what they'll do? As soon as you get four sentences in about your story, they'll talk about their story. You know? That's kind of a sin, you know, in a sense. You know, you're not a good listener. We need to be good listeners and we can develop habits where we don't listen to people. You know, there are all sorts of things that we can be hidden sins from our life. Our tone of voice. You know? Well, I'm not being harsh, you know. My tone of voice with my wife sometimes is harsh. You know that? If I spoke to anybody else that harsh, they'd probably punch me, all right, or do something like that. But, you know, my wife sometimes would say, I want to get a tape recorder out and record you and let you what? Listen to it. That would probably be very effective. And that would be, because I remember one time she got harsh with me, and I said, you don't need to be harsh with me. And she said, yeah, why don't you think about that the next time you're harsh with me, all right? And I thought, you know, that's good. I did not feel good about that. She could have just asked me nicely to do whatever it was, but she was harsh. And as a result, that was a sin, you know. We are full of things like that. Those are just small things. So how can we do that? How can we cleanse the error of our ways? How can we, the Spirit of God, right? What did this guy do? The psalmist, what did he do? He confessed it, right? He said, and this is a prayer that's being offered. Lord, what? Show me, you know, my secret sins, all right? The ones that I'm not aware of, cleanse thou me from them, because I can't understand my way. And you'll find out that God will show you your problems that you thought maybe were even strengths. Who knows? But, you know, I've prayed this before, and God is effective. He'll show you. You know, it's not like every day it's going to happen, but there are times in life where you just need to got to be honest with yourselves, you know, and that's not a human trait. Read through Proverbs. Every man is just and right in his own cause, aren't we? We got reasons why, you know, that we think that what we did was wrong, and then somebody comes along and lets us know, and we go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that was bad, what I did, wasn't it? I didn't mean that, though. I mean, these secret sins they're unconscious. We don't mean them. And yet they're what? They're there. And they have a real live effect. So, first, I'm going to end with this. The last verse. I got my verses all mixed up here, but I gave them to them up there. So the one with the arrow that's at the very bottom there. All right. In 1 Corinthians 11:31. This is talking, it's the context of this is that the Lord's Supper. Paul's rebuking people about they come to the Lord's Supper and they really haven't examined themselves. They're just showing up, you know, not waiting for each other, doing all sorts of crazy things. And he says, to them ultimately, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. All right? It's like the old Fram oil commercial. Some of you, the nice thing about today, technology, you can pop that commercial up real quick and show kids it's on YouTube or something like that. So how many of you remember the old Fram air filter commercial? None of you? None of you? Tom? What's it say? What's the punchline, Tom?
Pay me now or pay me later.
You can pay me now or pay me later. Guy's got a $5 oil filter. Probably costs $20 a day. And he says, you can buy this oil filter for $5. You can pay me now. He's a mechanic. It's greasy. He's under car. But he's working on overhauling the motor. Costs thousands of dollars. And he said, or you can pay me later. You know? And that's kind of what this verse is saying here. If we'll judge ourselves, change that filter, you know, then we won't need to be overhauled. And how can we do that? You know, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, let's go there. We'll end in chapter 10. Or excuse me, 2 Corinthians, verse 10. We went and we'll read to the end of the chapter. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I mean, see, Spirit could search those, all right? For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not these things of the Spirit of God. We're always justifying ourselves. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. All right? But he that is spirit judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So it is the Spirit of God within us that can point out. All right? For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We are fully equipped to figure these things out in our lives, but we have to ask. You know that? We have to really be honest with ourselves, because some, you know, just like you can go around life with bad breath and stinky odor in your life, and everybody else has to suffer from it, you can go around with some pretty bad habits and mannerisms and whatever it might be and be a poor witness for Christ. People can't see through some of that, you know, to see the real message, you know. Amen?
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.